Thank you, Mr. Enzone. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a little warm in here. We're doing the best we can to get the heat to be working. The air conditioning to be working. So a little hint, a little pro tip. The air conditioning is working usually over there and usually flows over this way. There's a little string on the end of that that's fluttering. This guy over here doesn't seem to want to flutter, so the good day will come when we see that thing fluttering. I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's another beautiful day, supposed to be tomorrow, so hopefully everybody's barbecue, if they're barbecuing, goes well, or whatever it is that people will be doing to celebrate the fathers in their lives. Also, all the happy camper faces out there, we have a few that are on their way, guests, Mr. Provine especially, they're going through to go to the camp that's starting tomorrow, although technically the full camp starts on Monday, so nice to see all the happy faces this week. Next week, you'll see a whole bunch of tired faces. So it's a preteen is a just about the right amount of time. Teen camp is the one that's quite a bit more grueling. So we should see some happy, smiling faces next week, especially the kids. So I know in our congregation, the best boys will be there, and then there'll be maybe some people sticking around after camp. So should be a good time. Remember, I think Mr. Van Zuen's doing the announcements. Remember to pray for the camp, which I'm sure he's going to say. Make sure everything's nice and safe. The weather's supposed to be beautiful, so that's very nice. So, turn this puppy on. I hope this thing will... There we go. During the Pentecost message, Mr. Michael Lindenberg mentioned Jaime Escalante, a very skilled teacher who taught disadvantaged inner-city children calculus. So today, it is my goal to make all of you artificial intelligence consultants. It'd be a joke until those of you who have ever dealt with consultants know that not all of them are worth their salt. The comic strip Dilbert usually pokes pretty good fun at them, and rightfully so. I've had, unfortunately, my shares of dealing with consultants through the years at my work. They're trying to squeeze more efficiency out of here, doing something better that never really seems to work out. At the end of the day, you kind of think, is this somebody's brother-in-law that's looking to make some money, coming in and say, oh, you should do this or you should do that? Well, you know, they're not worth their weight in, you know, dirt, some of them, you know. As a human, obviously, they have great value to God, but to the industrial world, some of them just ain't worth, you know, their time and money that you have to spend for them. So, question is, artificial intelligence, what is it? Well, to sum up the technology, it's just a ginormous group of piles of information. Heaps and heaps and heaps of data. Obviously, ones and zeros stored all over the world. You have websites, you have internet feeds, transcripts. Basically, everything on the internet can be grabbed, scanned if it's not in a format that's typed out, or other ways to grab the information. Books, things that people put out there, all kinds of information gathered together into usable piles. In fact, people can volunteer to donate their texts, their online lives, their whole private lives can be volunteered to make the system better. And that's what they do. They make it more a rounded system by saying, okay, here is my phone. You can watch every single thing that I do. And for some people, that's fine. And other people, you know, okay, maybe, you know, you don't want to, you know, not saying that anybody over here is doing like some midnight, you know, rooster fights or anything like that, but, you know, it's something that, you know, people like their privacy. So, once the piles are made, they have to be programmed to be used. I see some hands over there. Somebody's having to manipulate all of that data. And sure enough, there are companies that deal in the world of AI, and there's probably more and more founded each and every day, and especially where we live, over in the Bay Area, there's probably places opening every single day, kicking out hardware that harnesses these piles of data. Now, there's no grand central AI company yet. There's a few out there that are trying to make it seem like they want to build a whole universe in the virtual world. And for sake of prophecy, who's to say that, well, maybe they'll call it the Beast. You know, we'd kind of jaw drop at that point, but for them, it's like, why not? It's a very good name for it. But who knows? Who knows what it'll be in the last days? So let's make our own little program in our mind. Let's say you're making one that communicates with people. We start out by typing, how are you today? The program sees it. It's a question. Okay, I have to respond to a question. So I'll go through heaps and heaps and heaps of data to analyze that information. There are thousands, if not millions, of ways to respond to that question. How are you doing today? But let's say we pick the top five answers. Let's say goes to the heaps and says, I'm fine, how are you? That's one of the options. It says, it's a wonderful day today. How is your day? And I'm sure there are many people, if you ask them how they're doing, they say, I'm doing wonderful, how are you? Or if the system knows that you're a teenager, meh. You know, sure enough, piles and piles of information from teenagers. You know, we've got some of them sitting in the second row over here. How are you doing today? Meh. You know, acceptable data. Now, I'm glad that my parents were here a couple weeks ago and aren't here today to utter some slanderous words like pots and kettles. And, you know, it's something that, you know, everybody goes through teenage years. So I'm sure they'll talk to their kids, you know, they're just speaking monosyllabic, you know, words that my parents said that I did at that age as well. So depending on how the program is made, you can either take that top response, I'm fine, how are you? Or mix it up in the top five, top 10, whatever. That way it looks more realistic. I'm sure that all of you have either read or seen articles out there trying to figure out whether you're talking to a machine or a human. And I think there's even one. Are you talking to a machine or a teenager? I didn't look at that one, but that may have been a pretty interesting one. The goal is to make it look and feel human, to make it a more pleasing experience for people that you're not just talking to a machine and it's just rattling back what's the most, most people say this, okay, return that. What's, you know, just the standard response. Make it look and feel kind of human. So digging a little bit further can make the program a little more complicated. Let's say you're asked, how are you? And well, for me personally, my back has been hurting me for the last couple weeks. So I might say, I'm okay, my back hurts. So the system would go and search in the piles to see how to remedy a backache. I'd say, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you tried this product? And there's my product that I created called Back No Hurt. It's a spray. Say it's got 5-star reviews and people are saying this is a miracle product. You put it on your back and your back stops hurting. That sounds good, right? That's something that comes back and says, okay, you have a problem? Let me help you with your problem. Well, let's say, well, I don't want to use a product. You know, I don't want to use any ointments or anything like that on my back. And some people, yes, some people, no. System could go back and look at other methods to relieve backaches. Do you want to learn some stretching techniques that'll help loosen your back? I know at work, we had some OSHA little placards that say, okay, every day before your shift, maybe you want to do these exercises if you do this motion all day long, or do certain things to loosen your muscles to make your back feel better. That sounds, again, pretty good, right? It's trying to help you out. It's trying to do good things. So to summarize, it's kind of the basics of AI, being able to harness the piles of data and the information. You have inputs, and you have outputs. And again, that's good stuff, right? Well, food recommendations. They see what your diet is. You like to go to these restaurants. Well, why don't you try that restaurant? And on my phone, it'll say, I'm driving around, it recommends this place. Based on the places that you've been before, maybe you can try this new place over here if you're traveling to a new town or something like that. Or to visit other places based on your interests. You know, you're reading a bunch of books about this part of the world. Why why not try, you know, there's a sale on tickets right now if you go to this part of the world. Again, something that sounds pretty interesting, pretty good. So you guys can now add to your resumes that you have expert training on AI. Now, I have no certification, so it doesn't mean anything. You could put it on your resume, but it won't do anything. They'll say, what is this? Who is this? You know, that doesn't mean anything. You know, what? But that's, you know, like I said, a baseline kind of thing. So why do I bring this up in a church message? What does this have to do with anything godly? Well, just like everything else, tangible or not, that God has allowed men to build or to have, AI is subject to the idea going way back to Genesis 3, the idea of good and evil. A spectrum between good and evil. Not everything's all good, not everything's all bad. It's somewhere in the middle. Trees are great. Here's a little tree with oranges on it. Until someone breaks off a branch and starts beating somebody up with one of the branches. Now, did God intend to build trees so that people could beat each other over the head with them? No. From Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12, they're for bearing fruit and for holding birds. And it's something that pretty much everything has a good side, but it can also be used for a bad side. In the city of Chicago, they banned guns. That's great. Except they still have horrible gun violence. Every weekend, there's about 15 people on average that are killed from guns. Okay, well, ban guns. In the UK, they banned guns. Well, then they started to have a whole bunch of knifings. And sure enough, they had marches to ban knives. Now, I don't know what they're going to do to butter their toast. You know, they'll have to get something to, you know, manipulate the butter or, you know, use sprays or something like that. But I'm sure even a spray, you can walk around spraying people with butter and blind them or something. I don't know. Everything has a good use and everything can have a bad use. AI has a good side, like we talked about, to be able to recommend things for your life, make your life easier and better. It's already a lot in the background that probably a lot of people don't know how much AI is working in the background in our lives already. But in our state of California, we have a front row view of how this can be ruinous. Preparing this message, I searched the internet for three words. They are California, legislation, and Christianity. And to make it more current, I made sure that it was searching for articles and web pages over the last year. Sure enough, on the first page, I found five state laws that directly confront values and ideas of Christianity. Laws that strip away parental rights of their children. Laws that will make Christianity all but an underground religion like it was in the Roman Empire. To the current world, anything that stands in the way of doing whatever it wants to do is lawlessness to them, and it's worse, deemed as hate speech, an outcropping of hatred that's permeating through the society and unfortunately splattering all over the church and the views that we hold. You don't want to let a woman have an abortion? Well, that's hate. Sure enough, I don't know if anybody's followed any of this, but there's congressional testimony about an FBI whistleblower that was saying that the Catholic Church was being targeted and that they were sending infiltrators into the Catholic Church to hear what they're talking about. What's going on? Why are they saying this or that? You don't want your child to transition sexes without you knowing about it? One of these state laws that I was talking about makes it illegal to stand in your child's way. And in fact, there was an article, I didn't read it, I just saw a little bit of it today, talking about somebody who went through transition surgery and was kind of forced into it. The hospital and the people forced them into it. This poor young lady who was 13 years old had a double mastectomy, had all these things kind of mashed on her, and now she's suing the hospital because she can't go back. She's in a very bad situation, but that's how it is in the world, that they want to listen to 13-year-olds, that I want to transition sex. And so 13-year-olds have the right in our state. They're just about to sign that legislation. It passed the assembly. to say, okay, you can transition. Now, anybody who's had teenagers know that they don't always pick the right things. Nobody says to the teenagers, what are we having for dinner tonight? Popcorn! Okay, we'll have popcorn tonight. That's fine. What do you want tomorrow night? Oh, let's have, cotton candy. All right. Maybe popcorn, cotton candy is not going to ruin you for 2 days worth of food. But eventually you start to realize that they don't make good life choices. And sure enough, to destroy their bodies at the age of early teenage years, it's terrible. And that's what we're going to be living in. And I'm sure that law will pass. Hopefully it'll go through some sort of legislative or judicial scrutiny, and to say that, hey, wait a second, you guys are stripping too much away from the parents. They need to have a right in their lives. Even this week when I was preparing this message, there's a little video that I saw that this lady was absolutely losing her mind, saying that if you believe that there's only two sexes, you're a right-wing extremist. And that's something that depending on the font of your Bible, page one of our Bibles pretty much say there's two sexes. There's man and there's woman. Oh, it's on page two for me, Genesis 1:27, males and females. Page two of our Bible automatically broad brush says that we're right-wing extremists. We're living in an eminently dangerous world. An AI very well could be a big tool to accelerate that end. Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and we'll start in verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. John's writing, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So he came up kind of pleasing. He's not a menacing sight. He's pleasing like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That's something that there's stories that come out all the time. It says that the government is trying to steer people in certain ways, to make people forced to go in a certain direction. There's one, and it's not, it's nothing brand new of an idea, that saying that the governments are trying to make people worship a certain way, in their mind, to face a certain direction, to look at something good. Throughout the years, the military-industrial complex. I worked with a guy who always complained about the military-industrial complex was trying to make us do something to, always go to war to keep their revenues high. Well, ironically, he was working for military aircraft side, and he was stoking that fire. He would complain about it, but he was over there stoking that fire to keep the military-industrial complex going. And, again, that's in his mind that there's a great presence there. But again, to force people into a certain direction, to worship, whether they acknowledge it or not. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has a mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. Now is AI the mark of the beast? Not necessarily. I don't think anybody needs to take a hard stand on that. But it could be part of the machinery behind it. Now think of poor Apostle John. This is basically 90, 100 AD. He is seeing a vision of somebody staring at their hand. And maybe there's a nice glow that's going up on their forehead. And you go into airports or any public place, people are just staring. And poor, you know, poor Apostle John's like, what is that thing? What is that? You know, completely foreign. You know, you say smartphone to him, he'll say, I know the word smart. Phone, what is that? Smartphone, put those two words together. What does that mean? And sure enough, you know, who's to say that he might have seen visions of people walking around with smartphones in their hands, on their hands and on their forehead. You know, why are you putting a piece of toast to your head? You know, what, does that do something? You know, what, you know, he's seeing these visions of something that's obviously 1900 years far in advance and technology that, you know, blow their minds. You know, I can talk to somebody on the other side of the earth. You're telling me that? Yeah, right now, you know, you have a phone number, you know, you plug in, you know, Zoom call, you can talk to somebody on the other side of the world right now. To, you know, Apostle John, it's, you know, whew, way over their head. You know, it takes a long time for the mail to go through all those seven cities that's in the book of Revelation. And for us, instantaneous. You want to send mail to seven congregations? Done. You know, hit send. Now, even on my phone, I allow map service to see where I am. I didn't disable it. It's something that most everybody can either get the option, especially in the state of California, they have to tell you, by the way, you're being tracked or you're tracking, you know, on your phone. So you have the option to get out of it. But sure enough, every week, I come to this location at this time. Be very easy for such systems to piece together that, oh, you know what? There's a web page that says that there's a church that's meeting there at this time. Enough heaps of that random information to piece together to influence its output. Well, according to the information I have, it's a Christian church, and Christian churches spread hate. So, you know what? I'm going to cut this person off of the network. I don't like that. You know, why is somebody part of a hate group buying shoes? Don't, you know, you don't need to buy shoes. Tires for your car? You're part of a hate group. Come on. Food? You know, that time could come. Sure enough, AI could cut us off. Say, hey, I'm not going to allow a person of a hate group to have food. I don't want them to prosper. I don't want them around at all. AI gives a shield for people to execute vengeance against groups, but in a very subtle way. The system did this. It's not my fault. We made the system. It took a whole bunch of people and kicked them off, or labeled them this, or made them that. Would be a standard response. It's not my fault. The system just overtook us. And then, sure enough, in a lot of movies, it's kind of what happens, the rise of machinery against humanity. And that's something that, ha, 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 that'll never happen. Well, stay tuned. The system would only respond to the way that it's made. It's a force multiplier, just like God and Satan. God works with people and helps them along and helps them multiply their effects, using the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our lives. But the devil as well uses those radio frequencies, kind of how we understand it through the years, to say, okay, you got a little idea that I can, you know, sneak up on you on? Okay, I'm going to just make that a little bit of a stronger idea. Make it stronger. It's a force multiplier. The devil can do that, and that's something that we have to watch out in our lives. Who are we tuned into? So, question is, what do we do? How do we prepare for these prophesied times? There's a word that Jesus uses over and over again when it comes to prophecy. It is that word, watch. I'll read Matthew 24:42, where he says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. That word's in the imperative in the Greek, so it has exclamation marks behind it. Watch, therefore. Something that's very strong. Watch. Another instruction is in Mark 13. You can go to Mark 13 and read verses 5 through 9 initially. Mark 13, starting verse 5. Mark 13, verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. That's actually really interesting in the Greek. A person says, I am, basically saying, I am Jesus. You know, and that's something that Jesus calls himself the I am in John, Gospel of John 7 times, but also in other books. When he's walking on water, I think it's in the account, in one of the Gospels, who's out there? And he responds, I am. And it's translated a very different way in most every translation, but basically, especially going through the Hebrew, who's out there? Yahweh. Yahweh's out there. He's walking on water. And, you know, people are already scared and probably put a little more fear into all of them, saying, you know, who's out there? And I am is out there. But going back, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Anybody watch any news, hear about wars, rumors of wars? You know, it's, can you not see wars and rumors of wars if you watch the news? Verse 8, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places. And there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. You see that all around us at this time. Verse 9, but watch out. Again, there's an exclamation mark in there in the Greek. Watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought out or brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Dropping down to verse 12, we see what happens from being called to testify. So now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now this isn't the fun side of Christianity. If someone made a flyer to draw people into Christianity, into the church, this passage in Mark 13 would not be on the opening fold. Come on in. By the way, you might be put to death. Come get beat up and possibly killed. That wouldn't draw too many people into that front door over there. Now, this isn't a guarantee for God's people as the end time comes. Let's go to Luke 21, verse 34, real quick here. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Again, Jesus speaking here. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that they come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So, another question. Okay, how do we watch? What are we to be watching to see the world and the conditions around us? There's been some contention, especially in the Northern California congregations, on sources of media. You watch this? You listen to that? Both of them together. That's so biased. That's worthless. That's state propaganda. Elon Musk piping in on one of the sources in the media called it state propaganda. It's a pretty big one. Each side casting stones at one another. Oh, what are you doing listening to this, listening to that? Now, I'm not here to solve this debate, hopefully to bring some light to it. Now, is it wrong to listen to insert source here, whichever side it is? And what's very interesting, person that you might be arguing against would say, you know, same words just to the other person. But let's answer some questions about how we watch. I have some points here. Does whatever you watch present a full and complete idea of the world as it is? It's the idea of journalism used to be that this person fought that person over there. That was it. You know, there's no backstory. There's no nothing. They just said at 3:08 in the afternoon, these two people were boxing and this person got a black eye and such. Well, obviously nowadays, everything's politicized. So you have to filter through all of that stuff. What is this person trying to say about this or about that? It's something that's completely crazy that you have to be able to do that. I mean, this is the press. We aren't there wherever it is, whatever happens. So we depend on these people to say, at this place, at this time, thus and such happened. And unfortunately, again, in this world, it's all based on slants. It's very, very difficult to find a nonpartisan source of information. But we have to do that. We have to see the complete view of the situation as it is. Does it fully report, for example, laws and trends of legislation that could endanger our lives, as could criminalize Christianity? We're told to watch events and tribulations that could ensnare us. Now, it's almost to the point that we need somebody to stand and watch every piece of legislation that goes through the state of California, especially, because there's bad stuff coming through. And their momentum, it's a tide that will pretty easily make Christianity illegal. It's something that we need to watch and either, as time comes on, hit the road or go underground. And it's kind of sad. At the end times, that's going to be what happens. And I alluded to it earlier, in the Roman Empire, you'd be talking with somebody on the side of the road and, he's a real nice person. I wonder if he's in church, though. So they'd stand there with their stick and they'd draw a little bow on the ground and then just keep talking. And then eventually, if the other person made another bow on the other direction and made a little fish, they'd say, oh, that person's safe to talk to. And that's something that there's an underground sign that said, okay, is it safe to talk to this person or not? Is he going to turn me in? Like Jesus said, people getting turned in and killed. That might be something that we're going to worry about. You talk to somebody on the street, they might have an agenda to lock you up, and especially in the end times, do very bad harm to us as the people of God. So we have to watch about that. And it's, again, this is not something that people wake up every day and say, thank you, Lord, for persecution is going to happen on your church. But it's something that we have to face as the time comes near to the end. Does it show, again, your media source, does it show international events? The Life, Hope, and Truth emails that get sent out on Friday have a section called World Watch Weekly. And that's something that shows prophetic news. This nation over here is doing this. This nation over there is doing that. Hopefully everybody has a chance to get that. It's an email that comes out, and it's basically a recap of the week and the articles on LHT, but also prophetic news, and to be able to look at sources and to say, okay, is this presenting things that prophetically is going to have to happen? We know much of what's going to happen as the time comes to the end. Are we able to filter through and to see it? Last one on my list, does it promote lawlessness? Many news organizations, especially in this month of June, promote agendas and lifestyles that we just cannot condone. PBS saw this one very, very recently. There's a Christian mother that says, well, God made people this way, and my job is to make sure that everybody condones and accepts the lifestyle that they're living in. No, that you're not reading that whole passage. You're reading up to that part that you like, and then conveniently closing your Bible and saying, that's what I need to hear, instead of hearing the full context, full representation of what's going on. Is that of a primary concern to promote agendas, especially again this month, instead of real and actual news? Rome is burning. And don't get us wrong, but are they presenting other things? In the book of Jude, I don't have this verse here, but there's a passage in there that talks about Lot and how he was vexed. And what it was, it's like a candle. Anybody's ever built a candle, you just dip it into wax and let it cool and then dip it again, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how you build a candle. And, nowadays it's probably the same way, but it's all machine-based. But that's what happened to Jude, or to Lot in the book of Jude. He was in a very, very rotten society, and he was just, you know, just insulated from it and then condoning it, such that he had to be pulled out of there. You know, get out. This place is going to be burnt up. You know, this, there's no reconciling these people. And Lot had to be pulled out of there. Is that something that can happen to us? We, again, through our consumption of media, could say, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, it's just the way of the world right now. It's just how I have to do it. Well, no, we have an absolute standard that we need to stand firm to what our beliefs are. Now, the bottom line for media and its sources is that people get spun around the axle, using a term there, to what their media source is, and it becomes an idol. Pushes God out of the picture. It's something that I've known people through the years and outside the church. They have news constantly going on in the background. They're always listening to this channel or that channel. You visit, and it's a constant drumming in the background. We're to watch, but not in a way that hinders our Christian walk. Media consumption can be toxic for your emotional and even physical health. When Jesus returns, we can say, yeah, I was watching. And he might say, okay, but what about the rest of the stuff that's in the book? You know, did you do all that? You know, are you living out the message of the Gospels other than watch? Because, you know, just like other passages where it says, you know, oh, I did all this stuff for you. No, you didn't. And same for us if we get just chained down to consuming media in such a way that it pushes God out of our lives. You know, Bible study, this looks really interesting. I'll get to the Bible study. I'll get to it. But man, that looks really interesting. It's something that it's not going to be worth it in the long term because we abandoned the true message that we're supposed to be doing. We live in a world that's on the cusp of AI driving our entire lives. It's already in the background of much of the what we do all day, every day, on our phones, the advertising that pops up, and our social media feeds. All these things are being dominated through the AI world. We are to live our lives not subjected to AI, but subjected, as we've gone through the conversion process, to become servants of God and His plan. Let us watch and pray that we can be spared from a world that potentially will be cause great destruction because of AI. AI is not the answer. God is.